You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It is 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday, so Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Good morning, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Always wonderful to join you fine folks here on Matt Nair on Air to recombobulate on a Friday.
We'll get recombobulating in just a minute. I did want to hit this real quickly. Todd this afternoon on the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. In the 3 o'clock hour, he is going to be giving away VIP tickets for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Mm-hmm. So this is the story of dedicated Japanese Packer fans who fulfill their dream of experiencing Lambeau Field. The film is going to premiere next week at the Majestic in Waukesha. We did have listener Sally texted in with some questions about this. If you want to find out more about getting tickets for this No Packers, No Life, go to nopackersnolife.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Nopackersnolife.com. Todd, also, we've been texting back and forth here with a few more details. VIP tickets for the Wednesday premiere are $100 each, and then the film will be opening at Marcus Theaters October 16th with tickets at Marcus Theaters site. So I hope that helps. If you want to go check that out, No Packers, No Life, go to nopackersnolife.com. We will include that in our show notes. We'll put that in our show notes. Mm-hmm. And then join Todd today between 3 and 4 o'clock this afternoon when he gives away some of those VIP tickets for that movie. Again, now it's time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Josh Call announcing that he is not going to jump into the governor's race. Were you surprised by this, Dan?
I was a little surprised.
Were
yeah,
you?
I think things had been kind of trending this direction. So I wasn't, surprised in the moment, I suppose. But I think big picture, you zoom out, a little bit here. And I think Josh Call had been making it no secret that he wanted to run for something. There was a long piece in the Cap Times a couple years back where he was talking about his aspirations to potentially run for governor. But I think as things have shifted in this race, and I think with the Trump administration and all the legal threats that are present because of it, I think maybe there's a recognition there that we need a strong Democratic candidate for attorney general in this era where a lot of rights, states' rights, in particular, mm-hmm. as we're seeing right now in Chicago and Illinois, yeah. are under threat from the Trump administration. So I think it is going to be, increasingly important to have somebody there who has the strong legal background and the incumbent factor from the election standpoint, but also just, some stability there in the AG's office. But I think it does kind of, have a pretty significant impact on the overall governor's race on the Democratic side, because I wrote this, kind of too early preview at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago and talked about how if Josh Call were to run, he would probably walk into the race as the front runner, maybe not an overwhelming one, but you win two statewide races in Wisconsin, you're probably going to be at the top of the list for a primary. Now, I know there's, some things that people might not like about Josh Call. Would he really emerge from the primary as the front runner? We don't have to ask those questions anymore because that's not what he's going to be doing. But I do think it does significantly change the makeup of the primary. And I thought he would be among the top tier of candidates. And I had some people telling me they thought, he would be the one to emerge from a primary. But, I think he's making the right call here in running for re-election for AG.
The right Josh Call.
One call, that's all.
I don't want to get sued. Don't do that. Not here. Not now. And this is all politics is all speculation. But Do you feel, Dan, that a run for governor would have been more, I don't know, better accepted or... I don't know how to, I'm trying to put it. So it feels like Josh Call has kind of come out of the woodwork in the past like 9 months. He's really gotten in the news, talking about these lawsuits, as you mentioned, really putting his name out there. People are seeing he is Josh Call, the AG. It's not just the AG of Wisconsin. He's got an, there's a name to the title. And that's all very important, especially if you're seeking higher office. I know one of the big sticking points for individuals, yourself, Jane, every time his name was brought up, you always kind of, you just were like, ugh, was the fact that he did not pursue any prosecution of the fake electors in 2020. I think that hurt his chances with a lot of Democrats, especially ones who leaned even more liberal. And I, do you think that had he done that sooner, because he did do it, they have done it finally, they were the last state, had he done it sooner and made a little bit more of a name himself, maybe over the past 2 years, there'd be more power towards his campaign? Because I feel like it would have been too little too late at this point to make an announcement, especially in the face of all these other candidates who are just kind of kicking in the door with their platforms.
Yeah, I do think that would have been a factor. Yeah. I do think if he had been more aggressive in going after the fake electors, I think he would have, one, raised his profile, mm-hmm. because I think it would have been especially newsworthy. But I think also it would have endeared himself to a lot of Democratic voters who really wanted to see accountability after January 6th, really wanted to see accountability after the fake electors, really wanted to see accountability for so many in Wisconsin who tried to overturn the results of the presidential election in the state. And I think we saw it nationally too, mm-hmm. with the Attorney General Merrick Garland. And I think the lack of urgency mm-hmm. towards that accountability was a problem for a lot of people. And I think, you know, we've talked about it on this show. I think Todd has talked about it on his show as well. I think the lack of urgency there is going to be a problem for another number of people. And I think in a crowded primary, that might be enough to push certain voters to other candidates.
Well, and I just think that I think Kelda Royce and Sarah Rodriguez are really strong, and Missy Hughes as well. I think they're all really strong candidates.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I do think it's a strong bench and mm-hmm. and it's a strong group of candidates, and David Crowley and Francesca Hong. And like, I think there's a lot of really important conversations to be had. I think the one big question now looming over the potential primary field is, what is Mandela Barnes going to do? And I think that has been kind of the conversation for what the next big chip, you know, now that the Call decision, now that Josh Call has made his decision. So now we're asking the question, no Call, that's all. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow. Well, guys, that's been a fun show. Inevitable. We're canceled now. We're done.
It was inevitable. Well, it just kind of laid itself out there for you.
And that really leads us into the next part of this conversation, which was, you talk about your too early article on the election. I feel like a too early poll came out this week from a group that is one Democrat, one Republican, both pollsters, that gave some, I mean, I'm just going to say it. They gave nothing numbers. It was not there was nothing. The only thing that really gave us conversation was the fact that there are more people undecided on both sides than either of the front runners of either side. And both had like percentages of none. And most of the people they were talking about haven't announced or won't announce. So it just felt like a way of grabbing headlines and the big takeaway quote, I'm sorry, mic in my face. The big quote takeaway is Mandela Barnes is leading the Democrats with 16%.
Yeah. I don't think that I didn't really take much away from the Democratic side of that poll.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is a crowded field. They all have, you know, varying levels of support. This is way too early to be really having this conversation on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, I did find it somewhat interesting how far in front Tom Tiffany was. Mm-hmm. And they also included, you know, Eric Hovde in that poll and Tim Michaels in that poll and some other folks who are not running. I think the biggest takeaway from that poll was the fact that Josh Shulman was only polling at 4% on the Republican side, even though he has been campaigning since May and all of that. And Tiffany walks in and he's, you know, quadrupled factors beyond that, his support. So I think if anything else, that was a really bad pull for Josh Showman. But yeah, Mandela Barnes was, I think it was at what, 16%, and
yes,
the rest of the Democratic candidates were in single digits, including Josh Call. But I just think on name recognition alone, that's probably the type of level of support you're going to see from a candidate who in the very recent past ran a statewide race and got it more than 1 million votes.
Dan Schaefer is our guest. If you're just joining, Matt Nair on air, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Josh Call announcing he will not be jumping into the gubernatorial race. Back to Mandela Barnes. I don't think he should run. I don't.
No.
I really don't.
Agreed.
I think he's got name recognition, but I don't know when it comes down to debating. I don't see him running away with it. I don't.
I personally see you have someone like Calderon. I'm not taking away of any of his time in government, but I feel like as far as people who have been working now.
The nuts and bolts.
Well, the nuts and bolts, but also people working in this day and age in government in Wisconsin, especially Madison. Calderon, Francesca Hong, and David Crowley, too. Like, they come with this real world now experience. And I feel like Mandela, he's a great, great guy. Great representation of like the party and its vision, but I don't think he's a strong candidate for governor. I just don't.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised. So I put this question to the fine folks of Twitter.com this week
to see
what they would think of Mandela Barnes running. So I just simply asked, should Mandela Barnes run for governor? And I was frankly pretty surprised at how overwhelming the no vote was.
Oh, wow.
In that poll. Yeah. It was majority of people, pretty overwhelming majority of people said no in that poll. That Mandela Barnes should not run again. And I think, you know, when somebody loses a statewide race as close as that was, I think there's a lot of questions that people ask about that campaign. And I think there's a Barnes 2022 revisited column I think I might write to take a look at, you know, what went well and what didn't in that campaign, because I think, you know, I think in so many ways he overperformed expectations, but also underperformed expectations. It was both overrated and underrated at the same time in a weird way. But I do think that the fact that he ran and lost signals some doubt for a future campaign. And I think we've seen it on the Republican side a number of times in recent years where they have ran somebody who has lost in a different race and it has not worked well. So Tim Michaels ran for Senate in 2004, then ran for governor in 2022. That didn't work out. Brad Schimmel lost in the race for AG in 2018, ran for Wisconsin Supreme Court, didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Dan Kelly running twice after being supported, losing twice. That's Dan Kelly with two L's. It hasn't worked out. So I do think there is somewhat of a trend with Wisconsin voters seeing somebody lose a statewide race and not coming back from it. I mean, look again to the Democratic side too. Tom Barrett, Russ Feingold.
Yep.
Like, this doesn't really always work out. So I do, there's a lot of tough questions that Mandela Barnes needs to be asking himself right now.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. After the 10:30 news, we're going to lighten it up with Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the serious issues of the day, talk about lighter things. Today we're going to talk about, this is a job I could not do.
Yeah.
We're not talking about you're not physically able to do it. If, let's say, you were in perfect physical condition and you could do any job you wanted to do, but you wouldn't do X.
Yeah.
What is that job? What is the job you would not do? Julie from Wausau texted in earlier. We'll save that. But exactly. If you're not going to be able to be with us for the next 20 minutes or so, you can always text it in now at 855-752-4842. Like I said, Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. We talked a little bit yesterday, Dan, about the suggestion in the city of Milwaukee to install red light cameras as a way to crack down on reckless driving, which is a continuing issue in the city.
It is a continuing issue in the city. Yeah, they actually had a public hearing on this bill for installing or allowing the city to install traffic cameras for red light cameras, basically. And they had this public hearing on the Summerfest grounds. They had legislators from around the state brought to Milwaukee to talk about this. This is a bill that has been introduced a number of times over the years, but this is the first time it has actually had a public hearing. So having this public hearing in Milwaukee, the bill also has bipartisan support. So it is being introduced by State Senator from Milwaukee, Dora Drake. She's been kind of the lead advocate for this for a number of years now. It has Republican support. So the Corey Tomczyk, the head of the committee, the Transportation Committee in the Senate, was also there at the public hearing. There is both Democratic and Republican support in both the Senate and the Assembly on this bill. So I do think it has a chance of at least advancing forward through committees, whether it's, makes it through the Senate and the Assembly and to Tony Evers' desk. Obviously, that remains to be seen. This is an issue for me. I've kind of gone back and forth on it over mm-hmm. the years, where I think, like, obviously Milwaukee has a terrible problem with reckless driving. There are so many issues about Milwaukee that I will go to bat for and say, like, Milwaukee's being unfairly maligned for this or mm-hmm. unfairly treated for that.
Right.
I cannot defend the driving that happens in this city. It is absolutely ridiculous. We have some of the worst driving anywhere in America in the city of Milwaukee. I can't stand it. And I think there are a number of things with law enforcement when it comes to just kind of like automated enforcement or using technology mm-hmm. or facial recognition software or different things like that I do have real problems with. But I will say for that I think they're running into like certain constitutional problems. But you don't have a constitutional right to drive a car.
No, you don't.
And
no.
So I think this is different. In that sense, where it's just the one thing, you might be running into Fourth Amendment concerns or whatever it might be with talking to people, but you don't have a constitutional right to drive a car. And I do appreciate the focus that Mayor Cavalier Johnson has had since coming into office to install some of these traffic calming measures. I do think they are helping. The data shows it. I think anecdotally, just driving through the city, people are slowing down when there are those traffic calming measures there because they have to. But at the same time, I think we need every tool in the toolbox to fight this reckless driving problem that we have in the city. And some of the statistics that Senator Drake shared at this public hearing are really stark, that more than 1,160 people have suffered fatal or life-changing injuries in speed-related crashes in Milwaukee over the past 5 years. Like, this is just a day-to-day quality of life issue. And I think that this problem has gotten so much worse over the past years, too. The Milwaukee traffic injuries and fatalities in Milwaukee have surged 86% since 2012. I think, more than 70 people died in car crashes in Milwaukee last year. Like, we have to take this seriously, and I think public officials are taking this more seriously, and I think this needs to be another tool in the toolbox, and I think we should pass it.
But it's just part of, when we talked about this yesterday, Dan, the folks who are doing this driving, they don't care how many tickets they get. You really think that that's going to stop them? They get a ticket because they blew through another red light? They're gonna compile their tickets and keep them in the glove compartment, and they don't care about that. So I understand it's a step. It's an effort to do something, mm-hmm. but I don't know that those people will care. That's like, I would like to bring back public shaming and put them in a stockade so we can throw bad fruit at them and tell them they're naughty people. That's not going to work either because they don't care.
For many people, it will not matter. Mm-hmm. You're right. I think for many people, it will not matter. I think it will matter enough for a percentage of the drivers that it's going to make a meaningful difference on people. And I think some people who might you know, who are maybe otherwise very good drivers and don't want to slip up and make a mistake and might, you know, just run a red light or something. I think it will matter enough to the people who will make a difference for. And I think there are other measures that can come to the people who are just the repeat offenders who don't care. Like you said, there are many of those who clearly do not care and are not going to show up at court or pay their tickets or any of these things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to matter enough to make a difference.
All right. Well, we will continue. We're going to lighten things up when we return. We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk audio sorbet and what job you could not do. What is the job? We'll kick that around coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, he joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. And when we went to break, Dan, Greg and I were talking off the air. There is so much to cover that we don't always get around to. We wanted to talk about the ICE raid in Chicago. Something breaking this morning that I think is worth a mention. Pete Hegseth, the Department of Defense Secretary, is proud to announce today we're signing a letter of acceptance to build a Qatari Emery Air Force facility at Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. So the government's shut down. We have no money. There's no money for health care. There's no money to feed kids. But we're going to build an airbase for the Qatar government? Oh, that's right, because Trump got a free plane. Anyway, these are the things we didn't have time to talk about today. So starting next week, Dan Schaefer is going to join us for an extended period of time so we can kick around all this stuff.
So much recombobulation that must happen. You will be joining us at 9:35 from now on, and we're going to talk about all the news.
All the things.
These segments always go too fast.
Yeah.
So we need more time to recombobulate. These times are extra discombobulating, so we need extra time to recombobulate.
Exactly.
It's also, too, when we're in this portion of the show, the 10:35 portion, where I want to feel light and fresh and airy, and you start talking about Qatari Air Force bases, I'm like... No, make it stop.
That's why we call this portion of the program...
What's that?
Audio sorbet.
Nice.
Where, what do we do, Greg Buck?
We clean your ears with fun.
So here is today's audio sorbet topic. What job could you not do? We're not talking about physical limitations. Let's say you have all the mental faculties and you have all the physical things you need in order to do anything, but even so... You could not do X. What is the job you could not do? 855-752-4842. That is today's audio sorbet subject. We were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. We were talking about what some comedians do when they cannot, when they no longer getting booked as much as they used to, and they have to finally find a job.
A job in the real world.
And many of them will go into real estate. It's independent. You're your own boss. And, you know, it's really depends on how much you can. I mean, that's the thing is, it really depends on how much you can hustle. If you want to be a successful real estate agent, especially in the beginning, you are working all the time. You're basically on call all the time. If someone wants to see a house, you have to prepare yourself to maybe leave your kid's birthday party because they want to see it now because there's a commission tied to it. And as performative as real estate can be, and it's like, hi, welcome to the house and everything, and, you know, here's the thing, and here's some cookies and blah, blah, I could never do that job. That is not even a job on my, well, if I lost everything today, I could go into this thing. Real estate would never be on the list, ever. I cannot do that. It just seems... Some people are built for it. There are some people out there who are born salespeople.
Oh, and they love it.
But for me personally, it feels, and I'm sorry if this offends any of our real estate agents are out there, it feels soul-sucking for me personally.
I know folks who love
yep.
who love it.
Yes.
And if you like, I love houses. I love old houses. I like getting into other people's houses. So yeah, I would probably like that.
I love entering through the door. I like breaking in through a window. It doesn't matter. As long as I can get in that
in
house.
There. I just want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What is a job you could not do? That's today's audio sorbet subject. Julie from Wausau texting in about an hour ago because she wasn't able to be here. She says, I could not work at a meat processing plant.
Understood.
Thank you to the immigrants who do this work. Excellent point, Julie. Yeah. I worked with someone a number of years ago who worked at a meat processing plant in Arkansas. The stories were, yeah, I couldn't do that either.
Dan, do you have a job or jobs that you're just, it's just.
No way, no how.
It's not on the list. It's not on that side list. Not a, nothing. You're like, nope, cannot never do that job.
So the first thing I thought of when you mentioned this was anybody who has to do a job where they are very high up. I am not great with heights.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this before.
Yes.
On the show. So I honestly feel like it's the most logical phobia to have is heights.
Oh, a lot of people are afraid of heights. Yep.
Right. So like, you know, those guys who will go way up on tall buildings and clean the windows outside.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No thank
window
you.
Washing.
I could never do that job.
No window washing ever.
I always have so much respect for the people who do that job because it seems I just like in no version of me could I be up hanging there and like scrubbing the windows and all of that. It just seems insane.
Well,
I could never do that.
That's like, have you seen photos from like 1940s and 19 and even earlier from New York City when they were building New York? And the guys who worked on those skyscrapers with no safety belts and they're sitting on a strut 50 stories above the ground with their feet over the edge having lunch?
Yeah, insane. No,
that's
thank
why
you.
The kids no, are soft you. These days. Fun, really super duper quick side note. I used to work with a guy whose side hustle was in that in the washing of windows industry, and he would tell me all the time, "Never call me a window washer. I'm a window cleaner." I'm like, Craig, you need to sit down and take your life a little more seriously because that's a ridiculous statement to say out loud to people.
What is the distinction?
I think window washer for him brings up this, like, you know, I just wash windows and if you are in the industry, like, your job is about making sure it's the cleanest, nicest, and there's more than just then the window. There's
right.
more to it. So I think it's a denigration. It's a, like,
oh, say the yeah. matter of respect.
Basically, like it's you think of maybe someone like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins says, I'm gonna wash some windows. You know, so.
What job could
I'm sorry,
you,
what was that accent
I'm
again?
I'm going to wash some windows.
What job could you not do? Perhaps accents. 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer says window washers or tower workers.
Yeah.
You stole my thunder, Greg. And Chris Alfheim from Appleton says septic system pumper.
Okay. All right.
Septic system worker.
I don't want to step in anyone's joy. And I understand that. I don't want to do that either. I don't want to window wash on high buildings. I don't want to window wash at all. Thank you.
Window clean, Greg.
We will be respected. I see those signs all the time for billboard installers. They're like, now hiring. I'm like, you're always now hiring because no one wants these jobs because it's scary. But like, are there any non-gross jobs too? Like, I'm like. I understand septic cleaner. I don't want to work in a septic cleaner either. So I don't know. I don't want to put parameters on it. I'm just seeing like what else besides the gross jobs are out there that people don't want to do.
855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says job I could not do is being a mortician. Sorry, Jane. Too creepy for me. I get that, PJ. I get that completely.
Yeah.
It's not like at least the clients don't complain.
But what's Sorry. A job you can't do? I don't know, telling jokes?
So for me...
Yeah, what I was going to say, what about you, Jane?
I could not be an interior designer. For one thing, my taste is very questionable. But I wouldn't be able to go into people's homes and not tell them what I actually thought.
But isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No. Because I have a friend who's done it for years and years and years. And he was telling me how he goes into people's homes and they have like their wild animal head refuge room.
Yeah.
See, and if I walked into a room where someone had nothing but animal heads, I would be like, you know what we need to do in here? Wallpaper. Over everything.
Over the animal heads? That'd be
weird. Yes, over everything. That would probably be my last interior decorating job.
I don't know. To me, like, if I'm hiring an interior decorator or designer, I don't want to disrespect your industry. I kind of want that brutal honesty. I'm paying an expert to walk into my home and tell me what they believe the best vision is for it. I don't want them to ceaselessly make fun of my taste or lack thereof, but I would kind of want someone to walk me like, yeah, I see what you're doing here, but this is what, you know, and I would then feel more confident in their confidence. But I feel like you could absolutely.
If I came in and say, oh my God, this is the ugliest room I have ever seen. We have to throw out everything.
Again, back to my earlier statement about making fun of me. But I'm just saying, like, you walk in and be like, oh, no, we're going to do away with all this.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, I guess.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
See, I think, Jane, your idea sounds like a great SNL sketch, though. Like the brutally honest interior decorator who comes in and just roasts everybody's house. That would be funny. You could play that role well, I think.
I volunteer.
There you go.
Guest host Jane Matinair and the sketch of the brutally honest interior decorator.
You bought that rug?
It'd be funnier than last week's episode.
855-752-4842. What job could you not do? Ronnie from Horicon on WAUK. A job I would not do is work at the DMV.
Yeah.
There are just too many rude and demanding people to the public. And I do want to give a shout out. When my brother passed away a couple of years ago and I had to make numerous trips to the DMV in Waukesha, they were wonderful people.
Yeah.
The workers at the DMV, those guys get a lot of slack or get a lot of crap all the time. I thought they were fabulous. Even considering they have to deal with all of us.
In the customer service vein, Jenny in the live stream said, I would if had to in order to get by, but I would not work customer service in the fast food industry. Customers are terribly obnoxious, rude, and entitled. And that's, you know, honestly, and it said, she also goes on to say, folks making a living in the food industry as well don't get enough credit or pay for what they have to put up with. I absolutely agree. And it's gotten, I feel, even worse in the customer service. I left a job in the past few years because of the customers.
Oh, I believe it.
The pay was fun. I loved my coworkers, but I could not deal with the entitlement in that industry. It was in the beer industry and it was just awful. But I feel personally, you know, there's some, like Israel, you have to serve in the army for a couple of years. I feel like every American should have to work at least one Christmas in one store. Like a Walmart. I used to say a mall, but who goes to malls?
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to work one Christmas season from October to February, and you will understand.
You'll have a different appreciation.
Yes.
Carol from Waukesha texting and also listening on WAUK. I couldn't do any of the jobs mentioned thus far, but my first thought was nurse. I have the utmost appreciation and respect for them, but I couldn't handle it. I'm too weak in the knees. I'm with you, Carol. I don't do well with leakage. Body leakage.
All right, write that one down too. I love to break into houses. Leakage, no good. All right.
Calvin, anything real quickly? Here's from our resident young person, because you have the dream job you've always wanted right now, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. I guess the only thing I really thought of was a butcher. Not because of... I think it's... I eat meat. I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian. But I don't want it, like, the killing aspect. Not to go too dark or sad, but yeah, the actually killing the animals would be
well.
Too
the
much
butcher,
for me.
The food arrives dead.
Okay, well then, the guy that kills the animals.
You don't want to work in an abattoir.
And getting the last word on this, we have Casper, who is from our company. Casper says, "Shoveling manure, been there, done that. Not ever doing it again. That was my first job." I think that kind of says it all.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Dan Schaefer, for joining us. For some recombobulation, we will see you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Be well. Enjoy the weekend.
Go Brewers. Go Brewers. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. The Flying High Edition. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on Monday, Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman will join us in hour number one. She is doing this now as a regular spot with us on Mondays to give us kind of an update on what happens over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of things drop late Friday afternoon. It's called a Friday news dump.
Yep.
Hoping that most of us won't notice.
No. And there's no such thing. Yeah. It news happens
all the time.
Anytime. Yep. All the time. And usually a moment after we get off the air, too.
A lot of it is 11:02.
And Todd gets breaking news.
So join us on Monday. Shelley Pittman will be here in hour number one. In hour number two, we are going to hear from Democrats Abroad UK. We have talked to them numerous times over the past year. And George King IV.
We didn't make that name up, folks.
No. And I actually, when I confirmed this interview couple days ago, I had to look at it five times because first I thought it was King George IV. And it's like, oh my God, we're talking to William and Kate's kid? I think he's only 10. No, it is George King IV is the vice chair of Democrats Abroad UK. So there are a lot of people who live overseas, Republicans included, who get to vote.
You kind of get to do that when you're a citizen, no matter where you live in the world.
You do.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to George King on Monday to find out what the view is from on the other side of the pond.
Yeah.
It should be a very interesting discussion. Right now.
Yes.
It is approaching 10:55 Kelvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever stumble on a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. This from that bastion of journalistic integrity, the New York Post. Calvin found this one from Nicole Rosenthal and Zoe Hussein. Headline reads, New York City weed dispensary pledges courier pigeon delivery services, and the twist is ruffling feathers.
It's great.
You like it?
That's great.
Bird-brained marketing campaign, the Big Apple-based cannabis dispensary, announcing it will launch a fleet of 20 courier pigeons to deliver gram-sized bags of marijuana to New Yorkers. Unfortunately, the Post learned this is phony.
I'm darn it, because I just wanted to listen in to all the customer service calls that came through. When, man, where's my bird?
My pigeon is late, man. We've been waiting for an hour.
Oh, man, it's on my shoulder. Oh, awesome, man.
The travel agency unveiled the winged delivery service set to launch in Manhattan and Brooklyn by next year, with a slew of videos that they put out on social media. As the travel agency, it's only natural we'd explore all avenues of travel for our delivery service, including pigeons. Being in New York, we thought there's no better courier than the ever-present and beloved pigeon.
Beloved? I think that's a stretch, my friends. I've seen people get at pigeons.
Viral videos spotlighted the alleged feathery fleet's downtown Brooklyn location, as well as handlers and training protocols. They went all out on this joke.
Yeah.
Essentially, promotional posters put up outside the company's Union Square shop also advertised cannabis carrier pigeons. One viral clip showed pigeons wearing tiny backpacks.
That's amazing.
Near a dispensary appearing to confirm the presence of the working birds. There are several places that jumped on this, including Fox 5 New York. And then they found out Ruh-roh. It was a joke.
But you know what? Somewhere probably in San Francisco, there's a board member at Uber going, hear me out.
Hey, this could work.
Look, AI is big. We love birds. Who doesn't love some weed? We can make this a thing. Uber Eats now, bird style.
And of course now...
Who's mad?
PETA is mad about how the birds were treated during these... fake ads that they were shooting. The travel agency says animal welfare was a top priority throughout production of this campaign. Every shot planned in consultation with pigeon handlers and their owners, who advised the director and the crew on the safest approach.
As a former vegan, former vegetarian, lover of animals too, I'm going to say this, which I've been saying even when I was one. You are your worst enemy, PETA. You are so over the top. Shush your faces.
They really, God. They don't help themselves
My
sometimes.
My goodness gracious.
All the pigeons are fine. No pigeons were harmed in the creation of this ad.
Was anyone from PETA harmed besides inside their souls?
No, just inside
okay,
their
okay,
souls.
All right.
And there is no pigeon pot delivery service. Maybe someday.
I mean, I can believe.
Maybe one day, but...
Jane, I need something to believe in, okay?
Not now. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman takes over. We'll see you on Monday. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.